Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 and www.freakradio.org. We're going to begin the evening news in just 15 minutes or so here, but I wanted to bring a caller online. Lisa, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Lisa's the president of the Kent Educators Association?
Yep, the Kent Education Association in Kent, Washington.
And this is the teachers' union that began this school year on strike. And Lisa, I'd ask to get an update on the situation, and if you could just introduce yourself and the Kent Educators Association.
I'm Lisa Bracken Johnson, president of the Kent Education Association in Kent, Washington. We're about, I don't know, about 20 miles south, kind of east of Seattle.
So how did the school year start out up there?
Well, we started off, unfortunately, we voted to go on strike. We had an 84% affirmative vote to start the school year with a strike. The district then, about 3 days into the strike, went to court and got a court order, an injunction to force us back to work. Our members then took another vote to defy that order and not return until we had an agreement.
And what's the status right now?
Right now, we did finally reach an agreement on the evening of the 13th, and we had our membership vote on Monday the 14th, and we went back to work, and students then started on the 15th. So we've been back in school just a little over a week.
So before I get into kind of the tactics of a strike, what are the grievances, what are the issues that led to this within specific to your district?
What we talked about, there were three issues: time, a workload, and compensation. And it was about, you know, time with students. Many of our members were in meetings before and after school, sometimes 7-8 meetings a week, which was eating into the time that they would be available to work with students either before or after school. It was also around the time around workload. Our class sizes were incredibly high. For example, at the high school level, the middle school and high school level, we have no class size caps, no limits.
What kinds of numbers are you seeing?
Well, I know that right now we have one business ed class that's sitting at 45.
Ooh.
And most of them are between, right now they're between like 32 and 38. And PE classes can be even higher than that.
Okay. So is that a separate thing or still time with students? I want to get all three.
Yeah, that's about time. And then when we talked about workload, it was really that was about the class size and caseloads for our education support specialists. I like our OTs, our occupational therapists, physical therapists, counselors, librarians, nurses, about what those, you know, what their caseloads would be like. And then around compensation, we looked at surrounding districts and found out that of the 20 surrounding districts in the Puget Sound area, which is where we are, we were 19 of 20, and we are the fourth largest district in the state. And yet we were very low on in comparable to other districts around us.
Well, and
those were our three main issues.
And I mean, they sound similar to what I'm hearing from other districts across the country, but particularly here in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that it doesn't deserve a response. What I'm trying to say is that while those conditions don't sound unfamiliar to me, your response is the response of your district and your union to begin the school year on strike. We talked to somebody from a district here in California in the East Bay who began the year with an authorization to strike and made their initial preparations and their stand a preemptive, if it comes to this, we will. But as far as I know, you're the only teachers union that started this school year on strike.
That is correct. We did have an authorization vote back in June before school got out, hoping we had started our bargaining back in April. And took the authorization vote in June, hoping that we also had a new superintendent who is from the California area. He was from Hacienda La Puente, And so he is new to us, and so the hope was that when he came on board, that some things would change at the bargaining table, and we would see some movement.
And that wasn't the case?
We did not see really any significant movement until after we took our strike vote.
Hmm. But so the response was immediate, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, you would imagine, but that's not how it happened. It was they had, from what we could gather, the district had decided the same day that we took our strike vote, the school board had a resolution to go for the court injunction.
Hmm.
And then waited. That was on a Thursday. On Friday, we gave the district a proposal at 2:30 in the afternoon. That was Labor Day weekend. They did not give us a response to that proposal until 11 o'clock the next morning. And we had a general membership meeting scheduled for later that evening.
So they didn't respond to striking workers on Labor Day?
They did not.
Took advantage of that day off?
Yeah. So our members met, and that was the day then that we decided to defy the court order to return to work.
Okay. So on one hand, I'm asking you how it worked, the deploying this tactic and really pushing the envelope and holding a line and starting the school year off. I want to know how it affected students and parents, how the response in the community was, and how much did this catch people off guard, or what, because of that ongoing negotiation, because of the preemptive strike vote authorization, et cetera, were people, expecting this, or did it catch people off guard?
I don't think it caught people off guard. We have, especially our members, we have been talking about the bargain since it began back in April, and the local newspaper had some articles about that, and then there was the article about that we had our strike authorization vote in August, in June, when that, basically what we said there was, if there is no agreement by an August date, then there would be a call for a strike vote. So I would say two really good things happened for us because of the strike. And one is that we're a large district. We're 18 for the state of Washington. Like I said, we're the fourth largest district. We have about 1,800 members. And so we, through this whole process, we became very united and together and speaking with one voice. And these were issues that came from our membership. And we went to our membership over a three-year period, getting information, gathering stories about what was going on. And those are the issues we brought forward. So that was a long process to get us to where we were there. But I think the second thing that came about that was really important was the community and the parents became very aware of what was going on and very aware with our issues and became extremely supportive of what we were doing and what we believed in and what we were taking a stand in.
How'd you do that?
In fact, there's been a group of parents who have form their own coalition and are continuing with those under those same ideas of time, workload, and compensation.
Hmm. And like I said, that's what I want to hear on one hand, and that sounds wonderful. On the other hand, I want to ask how the tactic of a strike essentially pits teachers' union against the school board. Now, the school board has a lot of power in terms of what the daily work environment looks like for a teacher, but in terms of the funding that they start with, there's this argument that gets put out there every time teachers blame the school board that the school board is in the middle and they're not getting the money that they thought they were, and that the anger should be directed at the state or at the federal policy that leads to these funding shortages. What's the response to that?
How we responded with that is that yes, we understand that there is underfunding and that districts have a restricted budget. what we said is that the district needs to look at the priorities within their own budget and how much money they say they're spending on teaching and teaching support and how much they actually spend. So we did a very thorough analysis of the budget of the Kent School District and looked at where they were spending the money. And what we found was is that over the past 5 years, the amount of money spent on teaching and teaching support decreased, while the amount of money for administrative costs increased. And then we took a looked at surrounding districts about what percentage of the budget of their budgets they were spending on teaching and teaching support compared to what Kent was doing. And what we found was is that our district was spending anywhere from 3 to 7% less of their total budget than other districts were.
Specific to classroom
right.
spending.
Right. So what we said was this is about priorities, and the priorities need to be in the classroom. We can't change the amount of money the district has at the moment, but we can look at how they spend that money that they do mm-hmm. have.
And you were able to do that. You were able to get access to the books and actually see, you know, some of those lines.
In Washington, and I'm assuming elsewhere, school district budgets are public documents, and they have to be recorded through here in Washington at the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction, and so we have access to those.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and looked at that, and like I said, did a year-long analysis of the budget and where the money was being spent, how it was spent, what they say they were spending versus how much they actually spent. And we found, you know, a lot of things out by doing that. That one was that the district could and does predict their income within 1%. But their expenditures, they always overestimated by between 8 and 10%.
Hmm. That's substantial.
So that's where we looked at that money. And then we also looked at the previous year's ending fund balance and noticed that it did go kind of up and down, but for the 2008-09 school year, they actually ended up with $2 million more than the previous year.
In terms of
money-making year for them,
and so that not in terms of the paper budget, but in terms of actual revenue.
Revenue and expenditures, yes.
Okay. Huh. Well, I want to thank you for spending some time with us. Can you tell us finally just what comes now? What are your next steps as the school year started off on strike? You're now back in the classroom, back at work. What does it look like for the coming school year and that's already underway?
Well, you know, we've had to shift our calendar, and so we do have that piece done. What we will continue to do, and I will continue to do as president, is go out to the buildings and talk with my members and set up listening or group sessions where members can come and talk to us about what's going on in the buildings, what are other concerns that they have, and start getting ready for the next contract in 2 years.
Lisa Bracken Johnson, thank you very much for your time. President of the Kent Education Association in Kent, Washington. Thank you
for very much.
Spending some time with us again.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 at www.freakradio.org. And we're going to get started with Free Speech Radio News right here in just a moment.